Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to episode number 173 of the Vex on Vex podcast. This is morning radio number 8. Dave, how are you today,
sir? I'm fantastic. It's Friday, morning radio number 8.
All right, we gotta stop yelling. We have a bad habit of yelling.
I'm not yelling.
Like, ah, ah, ah.
This is just how I talk.
That's how I talk.
This is my overly aggressive radio voice that I will do away with in 35 seconds.
No, I think anyway. Overly aggressive radio voice.
Sunday.
No, for real, that's a thing.
We'll sell you the whole seat, but you'll only need the edge.
I used to want to, as a
monster truck show.
No, as a kid, I wanted to be a voiceover guy, like really badly. And then I started.
I feel like it'd be a fun gig.
I started reading my own audiobook,
and it's awful.
It is soul killing. Because it's not, you have to read exactly what's there.
Yeah.
You can't deviate. And like, breathing into the mic. Oh, it's a thing. It's a thing. So, no, fuck that. All right. We cannot be in the same room at the same time and not. Rah, 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 rah,
no,
rah,
that's
rah,
exactly
rah.
How it goes down.
So,
what you see on the podcast is literally what we do every time we're in the vicinity of each other.
And I try to set up topics.
And it just goes to shit.
Pointless. So,
pointless. We cover one or two sometimes. Sometimes.
So, you were bringing up sound check. So, tell the sound check story.
So, Saturday, your band, Starscream, and my band, Pistol Razor, played a show together at Dolls on Sound.
Yes.
During the sound check, I was sound checking my microphone. And as I was sound checking, as sometimes I do, I don't do it as often as I used to do it. But they'll tell me, you know, talking to the microphone. And I'll give them the old Sesame Street. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 20. I'll give them that.
Yeah, I never do the ending.
Why? It's the coolest part.
That's I didn't say it awesome. Wasn't cool. I just don't do the ending. I keep
and
it real.
And the old animated pinball that went along with it on Sesame Street. So good. If you don't know what I'm talking about, YouTube the shit, you'll find it. It's spectacular. It's a beautiful piece of my childhood that I'd never forget. But anyway, I didn't do it. For whatever reason, it just slipped my mind. I was thinking about it. Like, I should do that tonight. And I didn't do it. Pistol Razor finishes their set. Starscream takes the stage. You sound check, and what did you do?
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. Here's the thing, though. We started playing shows in the spring of 94. That was the first time I was ever on stage. We were always in like backyards and like all ages shows and shit like that.
Basements and garages.
And then by November of 94, we played a college and that had a sound man and there was a sound check and a whole thing. And we were new. We were really green. And then we played a huge festival that was self-promoted called the Mosh Farades. If you're old and you know me a long time, you're probably there. And it's in the book, right? So I do a shot of the book.
Why not? Might as well get it in.
12 feet tall and bulletproof, the Vex X autobiography. Anyway, available at Lulu Publishing, or Lulu.com. Lulu Publishing? Anyway, Lulu.com.
Sure that.
We then, my friend Ron Kaiser, who's still in a band, I might add, called Blasphemous.
With my other drummer.
Exactly. Small world shit. He found a club that would book our stupid bands. A club. And it was afternoons on Saturday, because none of us were 21. And it was a bar called the Mighty Ferenz. 11th and Cherry, I believe, was the cross section. And we had to do a sound check, like adults. And I didn't have to do a sound check.
No, not a clue.
Then I would try to do push and pull with the audience. And I got up with this microphone and I was like, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. And I put the mic out and they always.
Nothing.
They all screamed 11, 12.
Oh, really?
Because they were our age. And I was like, that's a thing. And I learned that from Freddie Mercury. Damn, damn. Right? I stole that fucking shtick. Because I love Freddie Mercury. And so that kind of became an ongoing thing. But now we're really old. And the people who were younger come to the shows and have no idea what the fuck that is. So it just became my sound check.
Not a clue. I used to either do that or I would do the old Cheech and Chong bit.
Dave's not here.
Eddie Torres.
Okay.
And he had this character that instead of E.T., the extraterrestrial, called Eddie Torres, the extra testicle.
Aww.
And he had a costume with three balls on it.
Classic.
And I'd go, check 1, 2, check 1, 2, 1, 2, 3. And, you know, because that's how he sound checked is Eddie Torres, which I thought was hilarious. But nobody ever gets that joke either. But it's funny to me, so there.
All right, remember when Saturday Night Live in the early 90s, Aerosmith was kind of huge and they'd be on. Tom Hanks once played a roadie and he sound checked for them.
I do remember this.
And he's like, Sibilance, Sibilance, check one, check two. So Sibilance kind of became a thing for a while because of, no, I joke, no one got, by the way. And then there was the Beavis and Butthead version. Check one.
I think I've done that too.
So there's a lot. And then I don't know. I just have to understand
for anybody watching that at this point in us doing this, we've been playing music a long time.
Long time.
And the sound check at this point is essentially the most boring and mundane thing that we have to go through every time we play a show. And we have to find a way to make it somewhat fun, at least for ourselves, if not for other people.
I always felt like you're blowing your load because as the front people, we're a thing. The band can do all they want.
Yeah.
But I have to come out and be like, ah. And so here I am and only half my makeup's on. And I'm like, okay, I'm going to stand here in front of
them. I only have half my makeup on.
Click. And I have to fucking talk in front of these people. So I don't know. I used to make a roadie sound check for me. But now the idea of roadies being near my microphone upsets me tremendously.
Yeah, especially some of your roadies.
Oh, yeah. We had a roadie once. This is a true fucking story. We're in Virginia. And the name of the club was the Firehouse Q. Maybe it was Maryland. It's probably Maryland, actually. Firehouse Q. It was a place that we opened up for L.A. Guns, the version at the time with, what's his name? Tracy Guns, right? It wasn't L.A. Guns. It was Tracy Guns, L.A. Guns. That's not the point. This is a story. So we take a van and we got another truck behind us. There's a whole bunch of vehicles. We wagon train in. The club put us up in a bunch of hotels, which was awesome because we were out of state. We were traveling through. And we have a roadie, and I'm driving the van because I'm the sober one. And there's like six people in the van. The gear's already at the club. We're all out trying to get dinner or something. And there's somebody in the passenger seat, and the roadie's kind of between us. And he's like, hey, man, you know I have herpes, right? As they were trying to pass him a bottle. And I was like, what? And then, like, I know it's not the most colorful story, but it really upset us tremendously. We're like, ah! And yeah. His name was Skank, actually. So it kind of, it was fitting.
But he's like, apropos.
So he wouldn't share the beverages with anyone because he has herpes, man.
Well, that was polite of him.
Well, hey, you know, that's why you don't drink with your friends, I guess. But I don't know.
That's not why.
That's just to give you an idea. Then there's the fucking Pringles can story. Do you know that story?
I don't, but now I'm intrigued.
You know how?
I feel like a lot of things could go. This story could go a lot of ways.
You know how Led Zeppelin stuck a mud shark inside of a lady?
No.
You never heard that fucking story?
No.
Okay, so it's a Led Zeppelin into Starscream story. So, and this is all in the same strip, I might add, in California. I don't know what the fuck happened. I wasn't involved with this. I want to stress this to everyone. I was not involved.
It's a weird place.
All right, here's the Pringles can story. Are you ready? Starscream's on tour. I think it's 2009. It's probably the fall. Not maybe summer. I don't know. 2009, we're on tour. We're in California. And we play a show. And remember when Lady Gaga was really, really famous, like back then, like huge star?
Sure.
Selling out huge arenas. Her opening band was called Semi-Precious Weapons. They played a show with us, all opening up for Gilby Clark at the fucking, what's the name of that club? Where River Phoenix died. What's it called?
The Viper Room.
So Viper Room's awesome. It's not that big, but it's awesome. And Semi-Precious Weapons kind of famous that year. So a lot of people were, and Gilby Clark from Guns N' Roses. So it's a fucking madhouse, right? And we play our set. Semi-Precious plays their set. And then Gilby plays his set. Great fucking night. Well received.
Awesome.
I had a friend I picked up. It was a good time. At the end of the show, his name's Frankie. He used to live in Philadelphia, and then his band, Fat City Reprise, moved to Los Angeles, California. He gets in the microphone, he's like, there's an after party back at Starscream's Hotel up the road. Everybody go. And I was like, okay. I guess this is happening.
No, but all right, fuck it. Yeah, let's go.
We had four hotel rooms and a bank. You'd go on the second floor, and one, two, three, four. I was on the last one, okay? There was a roadie room, there was an equipment room, there was a guitar room, and my room. Like, we all had rooms, right? Four rooms. So here we go. We go back. I have my little friend. We lock ourselves in my bathroom and try to enjoy ourselves, which was awesome. There was many people coming in and out of all of the bedrooms at the time. It was like a colorful fucking thing. And I had run out of money on this particular tour. It was our last night before we got back in the bus and drove home. It was 2 days to get back to Philadelphia. You with me? So all I had, I bought myself a brand new can of Pringles. And in my head, I'm like, I'm going to eat Pringles for 2 days and drink the bottled water in the bus. And I'll lose 10 pounds on the way home, which is awesome. And then I'll get home and I'll be thin. I swear to God, this is what I'm thinking. Because I have no money. I just have no money. And you don't want to like text someone and be like, can you put some money in my account so I can buy a cheeseburger? Which I wound up doing, by the way. But anyway, I was like, I'm going to live on these Pringles. And I put them next to my nightstand. I'm playing with this girl. Everything is groovy. And I don't tell anybody I'm broke because I overextended. I paid for like an expensive massage while I was there. It was like a whole thing. And then you look in your pocket.
You got a happy ending?
No.
No.
And that's a whole fucking story too. I feel like she, I don't know. I don't understand prostitution, but we'll get there. So,
I don't either.
I really don't understand.
I mean, I kind of do, but I don't.
And this girl hugged me, so I feel like she wanted me to, but like wanted me to, I wanted the money, and I was just like, whatever. So anyway, we finish everything. It's the last night of the show. The show is great. It's all happening. I only own a can of Pringles to eat. You nice. Understand? You understand?
Yeah, I got you.
I play with my friend. I come out. She has to go home. Turns out she's fucking married. That was a whole thing.
Oops.
Oops. So she leaves. I come into my bedroom. The Pringles are on the floor and they're all smashed up. Half the can's gone. Now, this is all I have to eat for 2 fucking days, right? We're leaving at like fucking 11 a.m. It's like 3 o'clock in the morning. There is a dragon looking lady naked sitting on my bed. And I just fucked somebody else, number one. And I'm like, get the fuck out. And I threw her out of my room because I thought she spilled my Pringles. I was very offended. Yeah. And I locked the fucking door. And she's naked in the hallway. I don't give a fuck. Yeah, not my fucking problem. Fucks. Get the fuck out.
You fucked up my Pringles. Your nakedness is now your problem.
Exactly. So
get the fuck out.
I pick up my can. I put the lid back on. I'm like, God damn it. I don't know how I'm going to survive to get home. Like, and then I had to text like another girlfriend who's in who's in Philly to send me money. It was fucking bad shit. Yeah. It worked, but it was bad shit. The married lady came back. I don't know how the fuck she swung that shit. And she hung out all night and we cuddled and it was nice. Had more fun time together. And then I went to sleep. Now I wake up. Everybody's passed out. There's a myriad of people that were in and out of these hotel rooms. It looks like a bomb hit it. But I don't give a fuck. We're leaving. And now it's time to pack up the bus. Incidentally, there's a homeless family, a man, a woman, and 2 little kids, babies, in front of the bus. Hey, can you take us with you to Philadelphia? Number one, how the fuck do you know where I'm from? Number two, no! That was weird. They were living in the fucking parking lot.
Were they at the party?
I don't know the answer to that
question.
Had
they attended the party?
I don't know the answer to that question. It makes a lot of sense that they did, actually. But they were living in the parking lot. It was weird.
Then they had to have heard the party.
All right, anyway, I don't care. So, now we load the bus. Everybody's hungover but me, because I kind of slept a couple of hours, and I'm going to take the first 8-hour drive.
And you didn't get shit-faced.
I never get shit-faced. So now I'm driving the bus.
Fascinates me still, I swear.
We're in Arizona. Everybody's passed out, and my phone buzzes. I flip it open. I'm driving. I'm doing 70 miles an hour. And Frankie sends me a picture, an inappropriate picture of someone wearing women's clothing. And I was like, well, that's fucked up, right? And he writes back and he's like, no, Vex, this is fucked up. And he sends me a photograph of my Pringles can inside a female's vagina.
Was it the dragon girl?
Oh, it was the dragon girl. And I look over on the dashboard and there is the fucking Pringles can. Right there, I fucking opened the door doing 70 and kicked the can right out on the road because I was so disgusted. Now, it's being so many years later, I should have kept the fucking can because what would have grown on the can over the years? There is, however, I still have the photograph.
Oh.
And I went to put it in the book and the lawyers did not allow it. They did not allow it in the book. True story.
That's awesome.
That happened. And Led Zeppelin were on the same strip in the Riot House, and they stuck a mud shark inside of a chick. They were fishing over the edge.
What? I have a lot of questions about that. Like,
go ahead.
Like head first?
I don't know.
I feel like that thing could do a lot of damage in there.
Maybe first. Maybe the fucking, not the dolphin, the tail. I don't know. I don't know.
Why would you want to do that? I'm sorry about your Pringles, though.
But that's what's upsetting.
That was an ill-fated can of Pringles.
I wasn't even in the room for the Pringles thing, right? I had to hear about it secondhand. Now, the real fucking weird part, and the reason I even brought this up, this is how disgusting roadies are. I think one of the roadies fucked her that night in the shower.
Think?
Yeah.
That's literally what roadies do.
And she was horrific. Like, this is 2009.
Dude, and roadies set up gear, and they fuck Sasquatches.
Bro.
That's what the fuck
hey, they do. Hey, she was shaved?
I have money on the fact that there is probably one roadie watching right now.
That would, what, okay. I don't know why they're awake. It's fucking,
I don't know. He chimed in on the last podcast.
That guy didn't do anything yet. We never took him on the road.
He would totally fuck Dragon Bitch.
So Dragon Lady got fucked, and then he still wouldn't admit it many years later, and I knew this guy. He doesn't wear condoms, so he raw fucked post Pringles, and then Frankie, I heard, put his filthy, because he wore like sandals because it's LA, foot inside of this lady. He's like, ah, like they were just trying to fucking get anything in there they possibly could. And then somebody found my Pringles can. Now, they didn't know it was my Pringles can. And Dave, nobody knew I was broken. I had no food. No one knew because I don't tell people this my business. And he just, and it's fuck. They got a picture, man. And I, every once in a while, because King Sam was in the room when it happened, I will just text it to him for no reason and he'll send back a pukey face. And I recently emailed it to him so it would be in his email and my email as a backup just forever, and he sent me a pukey face. Dragon Lady. But like I said, this is 2009. This bitch remembered the 80s. Like, she was so old that she was like fucking around for that shit. It was a thing.
I had probably been run through by every 80s band that was
in ever California. And this is, and the, I guess, never died and still hung around. And the Viper Room is like a lot of where the metal people will go to die. Like, it's still a thing. Slash said he popped in there around the same time his book came out, and he was like, I hadn't been on the Sunset Strip socially in 20 years, and he's like, I go in and it's the same people wearing the same clothes and everybody's 10 pounds heavier and 10 years older. He was like, it was really fucking weird.
Yeah, that is weird.
And we played it.
I wasn't sure where the Pringles can story was going to go, and now that I know.
Thoughts on that?
I have some thoughts on it. My first thought was about just thinking back to how broke you used to be.
Yeah.
Like, remember being, like, broke?
We were so poor as a young band called The Broken. We're
just The Broke.
We pooled money to buy our first gold top Les Paul, and it wasn't a Gibson. And we were so excited for it. I think it was a Crown guitar. And we were like, we're going to have a gold top like Joe fucking Perry, dude. And we pulled it. I think it was like $200. And like, I put up 100, the bass player threw in like 50 or 60, Sam threw in a few bucks. And then we bought a fucking guitar. And we owned this. We were like, oh my God, we own this shit. It was so gratifying. And the whole time, like, someday we're going to have Gibsons. Someday we're going to have real guitars. And now they're just around us. But
Here we are. Someday you have one.
Someday. You're fucking, the legacy guy has a beautiful Les Paul.
He does, yes.
He stole that from someone, he told me.
Not tactically.
No, he didn't pay what it was worth. Is what
I'm saying. Absolutely not.
He stole
it. It wasn't like he broke into their house and took it.
It might as well have been. Might as well have
been. But yeah, he paid it. He paid an amount that was, they would make you cringe if you had one and knew.
Yeah, and you knew. And then, I don't know, I'm trying to build the biggest guitar collection imaginable for no reason. There isn't. I know it's going to hit a pinnacle because I bought all these Star Wars toys when the movie started coming out years ago, and now I'm giving them all away. But I bought like shit from when I was little. Like, I wanted Boba Fett Slave 1 from 1981. I wanted that one. And I went on eBay and I paid all this fucking money for it. I just gave it away. I was like, yeah, I'm over that now.
Oops.
No. You get divorced, you buy weird shit. Look behind me. Like, my God. You know what I mean? Like,
it's a little weird.
All right, if I didn't do a podcast and then as a backdrop have that, it's fucking weird, bro.
I don't think it's all that weird. I mean, that's what you're into.
I'm not into it. I haven't watched wrestling since 1990.
That makes it weird.
That's weird.
That makes it weirder, yes.
Nostalgia.
If you're like the wrestling guy.
No, not the wrestling guy.
That's probably good, because the dude that's our age and is still the wrestling guy, they suck.
No, someone's trying to win me over to the dark side. I was having a conversation. And they were like, you should tune in. It's gotten really good. And I'm like, it hasn't, though.
I held on a little longer than you did.
Well, you're a little younger than I am.
Yes. So what year did you say you stopped watching it?
I had sex in 1990.
Okay.
February 19th, the anniversary just passed. And from there on, I never watched it again. Ever. Never again. And I'll be honest with you. In my estimation, in my opinion, it's probably because you get a little more sophisticated as you get a little older.
So how old were you? What age were you?
14. I was done.
Okay.
It had jumped the shark for me, though. Like, you don't probably know the history of it. But Ric Flair.
I have some idea, because I was into it.
The Ric Flair belt, which is right there.
Yes, it is.
WCW wasn't Crockett. Crockett sold it to Turner Broadcasting, TBS, and Turner made it WCW. So it was
NWA before that.
And when it was NWA, it was the best shit ever, except unless you count the UWF, which I'm pointing to now. The UWF, okay. So if NWA, the AWA made the Road Warriors, but the NWA made them famous, okay?
Oh, my God. They're my favorite tag team.
Because they were the greatest thing ever.
Favorite ever.
And so that's the time I'm talking about. It's like the zenith. And then they overextended trying to chase Vince. I'm sorry, this is a nerd conversation. Because WWF, not WWF or WWE, Worldwide Wrestling Federation had been expanded. It was WWF. They were everywhere. They messed with WrestleMania was a thing. So the Crocketts, instead of holding on to what they had, put all this money into like buying a jet and expanding and going to markets that weren't their markets and just fuck themselves up. Then they get rid of Dusty Rhodes, who was the booker. He was really good at it. Now, he was a little fucked up, in my opinion. I'm sorry. I know I'm boring you. Wow. He started to put himself in the storylines too much because he wanted to be the guy.
Oh, yeah.
He's a fat old guy. Be a fat old guy. Like, he was in a tag team with the Road Warriors because they were so big. That's not how it works. Like, you know what I mean? There was no fucking justification. It worked at the time, but it didn't make any sense. So then they fired Dusty. And once they fired Dusty, then they were trying to get Ric Flair, who went to WWF eventually, I might add. And that was kind of the end of it. Like, it just, the zenith, or the moment was over.
I understand. Like I said, I held on a little longer than you did.
Did you make it to the New World Order stuff and all that?
That was the end of my thing.
That's a pretty good time to punch out. Because you might say...
The Monday Night Wars and all that happened when WCW finally... when the wave crested and it rolled back into the ocean and WCW was no more, that was probably the end for me.
That's like early 2000s. That's like 99, 2000.
Yeah, it was 99. About that.
Yeah. Yeah. I remember people were telling me how great it was at that time, 95, 96.
But also, that was right around the time that I moved, got kicked out of my parents' house, and I couldn't afford cable anymore, so I couldn't watch wrestling.
I remember that when I finally moved out, cable was like the first thing I got. I was like, I must have cable.
All right. So, speaking of being broke, I want to tell you my greatest broke story since we brought that up, and it is now falling in line with this story.
Sure.
I move out of my parents' house in 1999. I am 18, just about to be 19 years old.
Okay.
I am broke. Broke in a way that some people will never understand.
Okay.
I own a car. I find an apartment. It is the worst shithole apartment ever.
Ever.
The person that lived there before me died in the apartment.
This is like a fucking sketch from Eddie
Murphy. I got the apartment cheap because I said I didn't need them to do anything to the apartment. No new carpets, no paint. I don't care. Just I need a place to live. The dude who had died in the apartment had gotten lung cancer and decided, fuck it, and sat in that apartment and chain smoked for like 8 years.
That's a long time to die from lung cancer.
The walls were yellow. There was brown shit on the windows. Like, it was fucking gross.
I can clean, though. I had to clean some of that stuff.
There was no cleaning this, dude. like, there were white spots on the walls where pictures had been.
Yeah. Like I've seen stuff like that, yeah.
I also, grossness, kept his furniture because I had none.
Oh!
Yes.
Oh!
Yes. Foulness. Fucking found it. So, this portion of my life caused me to literally have an emotional breakdown. I was working second shift in a factory. Now, for anybody who knows, factories have rules as far as OSHA sets standards as to how long you can work.
Of course.
So, the rules are you cannot work more than 12 hours in a day. You cannot work more than 13 days in a row without a day off. Because I'm fucking broke, I maxed out. I worked 13 12-hour days in a row.
That's a lot.
In the middle of the night.
That's a lot.
I got home, and I have no money. I'm broke.
Okay.
I literally do not have a dollar. I have no food. I'm like, what am I going to do? I start grabbing, like, dirty pants out of the laundry and checking the pockets for change, digging through couch cushions, trying
there.
And I scrape up enough money that I can walk 3 blocks to the 7-Eleven and buy something to eat.
Cool.
So I do that, and I make my trek down to the 7-Eleven, and I'm, you know, trying to be a conscientious shopper for my 98 cents that I have. You know, I'm really shooting for value here. I'm doing my thing. And I decide I can purchase a can of SpaghettiOs.
Yes, yes.
And I'm like, fuck yeah. Fuck yeah. I can eat that. That's awesome. So I purchase my SpaghettiOs and get my 8 cents change.
Sure.
And I trek 3 blocks back to my shithole dead guy smoke-filled apartment.
Wait, no can opener. That's it, right?
Walked into my kitchen, and I have no can opener. I don't own one.
What'd you do?
Cried.
Did you know?
Cried for about 10 minutes.
Okay, go ahead, go ahead.
And then found rusty dull knife, and I got the fuck in that can, and I ate it, and I sucked it up and went to work the next day.
I thought you had to have off because you're like maxed out.
No, I mean, I had just enough. Oh, well, all right, yes. So I had a day off.
With no food again.
Right. That was the brokest I ever was.
Hmm.
Yeah. That one came close to really just, ooh. Yeah.
You were going to suck a dick like it was that bad?
I don't think I was going to suck a dick, probably. I mean.
All right. Can I tell you the truth? And this is awful. I'm sorry to say.
You sucked his dick on the ride home from California?
I would never have to, and this is why. I am a fan of a band you despise called Motley Crue.
That's a fact.
Motley Crue taught me a trick at the tender age of 11 years old when I saw Motley Crue Uncensored. Women will buy you stuff if you're in a band. The more pathetic and broken and nothing you have. So we had it set up, and this is a Motley Crue trick. It is not a Starscream trick. I stole this shit. Steven, my roommate, and myself had a house. We had a house. This shitty house, man. We rented it. And we had regular girlfriends. I can picture his girlfriend right now in my mind. And my girlfriend's name is Heather. And they were the girlfriends. And they would just come over and they would leave like 10 or 11 o'clock at night and go home. And then at 11 o'clock at night, the second round of young ladies would come over. And whoever came over had to bring food or something. And this is not my trick. So we had the girlfriends would come and bring us dinner, which is fucking awesome. And he'd eat and I'd eat, whatever. And then like the second round, the middle of the night broads would bring us other things like cookies. And like we never, ever, ever wanted for food because we were in these bands when we were like 17, 18, 19. By the time I'm 21, they were still following us around. And the band had broken up, but there were a lot of numbers in my pager. And I swear to God, Dave, we were never hungry ever. We would just work the circuit, dude.
You're a lucky man.
No, it wasn't me. It was Motley fucking Crue. If you were a Motley fan, you'd have known the fucking trick too.
Yeah, well, you know, it's not worth it because that band sucks.
You got a great guitar player now.
That's a fact. I won't argue that.
And you can't lie. Tommy Lee can play drums. He's a piece of shit, but he can play drums. He can play drums.
He's like kind of good.
No, all right.
I don't think he's great.
Are you a fan of the Smashing Pumpkins?
No.
No, I'm not. I don't like Smashing Pumpkins either.
Why?
Exactly. I can do without that. That's the only reason. Shut the fuck up.
I'll be honest with you though, they have a new song out right
that's
now.
Not bad. Because he's not going. Yeah. He's going. And you're like, oh, you found your range, fucker.
I kind of dig it. I heard it last night on the way to work. I'm like, I kind of dig this tune.
I 100%
the opening riff is killer.
It's killer.
It's like an average riff. I'm like, this is great.
And he doesn't sing it like a piece of shit.
Yeah. I know. I'm like, yes, I kind of like this. Agreed wholeheartedly. It's the best thing Smashing Pumpkins has ever done.
I don't even know why. Oh, all right. So Smashing Pumpkins are making demos in between the return of Smashing Pumpkins. It's just Billy Corgan and his friends or whatever.
Yeah.
And he had Tommy Lee come in and
talk about a weird guy.
And then because I was bald, I've been called him a few times wearing the eye makeup. Johnny Mack has now said that's his twin. Johnny Mack can have it. Although Billy Corgan is gigantic. He's like 6'4". He's a gigantic motherfucker.
Whoa, whoa. Johnny Mack is willingly owning up to being Billy Corgan's twin?
Oh, yeah. He likes to call himself Ringo Starscream now. That's his new thing. We're not allowed to call him the other nickname that popped up. He hates it, so I'm not allowed to say that shit.
We're going
to
talk about that off air because I need to know the fucking name of that.
If I tell you, I'm going to get in trouble. Because then you're going to say it, and he's going to know that I told you.
You're 100% right. That's 1,000% correct. I have plans on finding out what it is and screaming it at Dobbs tomorrow night.
Oh, my God. That's awful.
Yeah.
Speaking of which, they're playing tomorrow night.
That's why I would be doing that. Yeah.
So Soundmind.
Soundmind.
Yeah, tell the people.
Soundmind is a band that is, as of right now, half of my band. My bass player, Larry, this is his little project. Soundmind is his baby. He loves it. He had got Johnny Mack to sit in on drums for a while.
Yes.
And I guess was actually going to be a part of the band before the Starscream thing happened.
He was a part of the band.
Yeah.
And then they fell apart.
Yes. And then the guitarist, I guess, left. Something like that. And somehow, how I don't know how this happened, they got the band sort of back together, I guess.
Oh, I know all this stuff.
But without Johnny Mack really being involved, and they were sort of, I guess, looking for a drummer, and in the midst of not having a drummer, booked a show.
No, that's not what happened. That's not what happened.
Okay, I don't know how.
Soundmind has a new drummer. Okay. He's not up to speed yet.
Okay,
and then
that makes more sense.
And then I was like, can you fill in? He was like, I'll be honest, I want to play the show.
Yeah.
I don't have, my drummer's not ready yet. He'll be ready by next month, which will now be March, right? And then he called Johnny, who's the nicest person in rock and roll. Like, Johnny's so nice. And Johnny's like, I never want to play in Soundmind ever again. And he's like, okay, Johnny, can you play this show for me? And he's like, yes. So now Johnny Mack's playing. Dude, I love Doghouse. Like, they're my friends. I love Doghouse. The motherfucker got on stage and had a 5-minute dissertation about dead babies.
He did.
This happened. Now, I don't know what you would consider quick dry vagina mesh in the arc of your life, but dead babies
is usually it. And if you find a girl where that's the opposite, maybe just run in the opposite direction anyway.
I mean,
because anybody who gets damp in the pants over dead babies, maybe just leave well enough alone, is all I'm saying.
Dead babies. He gets on stage. Now listen, this is my boy. Now I know he's high as fuck. Weed out the ass, right? So he gets up and he's like, you know, man, he's in between songs doing the David Lee Roth thing. I spent a lot of time at the cemetery, man, because my family's there. And I'm like, okay.
He said he walks his dogs there.
Every day. So So he's like, and me and my dogs walk around and we sing and nobody bothers us. And I see all these grave sites for dead babies. And you hear a in the audience. Like, it just stops. Like, what the fuck did he say?
I want you to picture the sound your car would make if you were doing 85 down the highway and yanked the e-brake. It was palpable. The wheels fell the fuck off. Immediately. People were at the bar not paying a single ounce of attention to anything that was happening on stage. And everybody was like, what the fuck? And then people looked around at each other and they were like, did he just, yes. All right, there's a dead baby song. And then the song happened.
No, he kept talking. That's the wrinkle. So, okay, you bring up the dead babies. Now you're in the dead baby hole. And he keeps digging the hole. He's like, why are these babies dead? Why'd they pass away? That's what I want to know.
I want to know their story. No. What?
And that's what happened.
That's not all that happened. Then he played the song.
About the dead baby.
And there was no reference to a dead baby in the song.
Zero reference.
And there was no reason to ever bring up dead children in the cemetery for 5 minutes. Read the room, homie. What happened? It was so fun. Thank God there was only 9 of us there.
Yeah. And then he walked some of them. So that happened. It was good times.
A strange night all in all, really.
I mean, we can't really discuss the elephant in the room, but it's been weird times, my friend.
It's been weird times, yes.
It's been weird times.
You missed some of my set to avoid parking tickets.
Dude, not a ticket. Not a ticket. So I'm standing there and I'm rocking out. And someone taps me the shoulder like, Vex, they're going to tow the bus right now. And I was like, you know, towing a bus is hard.
Yeah, it's going to take a bit.
And I went out and son of a bitch, if they weren't there, four cops getting ready and they were writing tickets on everybody. And I was just like, I'm just going to get in and just drive away. Because they were everywhere. Like, two cars behind me writing tickets on tow. And I just got in the truck and drove away. And bro, the worst part is I went around the block and parked right in the corner. Like there wasn't a place to park. Yeah. For reasons I don't understand, they are just shutting South Street down at 10 o'clock and that's it. Like, get the fuck off South Street. So, and I know someone got shot there in July. Was it July? Yeah, I think it was July. Maybe it was May.
We played there like 2 weeks later.
I know. That's who we are. We're those guys.
That's what we fucking do.
So 50% less dead babies, hopefully, at tomorrow night's performance.
Oh, God, I hope so.
So Doghouse is playing. Oh, my God. Here's some drama. So we had a bass player for like 7 years. Like 7 years, like a long fucking time, right? And then he quit over mysterious circumstances. It's always my fault, by the way.
Yes, it is.
I'm the devil, it turns out.
Did you forget to respond to a text?
No, not at all.
No, that's not a reason why you quit the band.
I had a quarrel with someone that I introduced the bass player to in my life, and then he took their side and just decided to never. And it wasn't even a quarrel. I just took care of a situation. And then he texted somebody else. He even texted me. He's like, yeah, I'm leaving the band because Vex is, he did this and this. But I introduced him to that guy. He didn't know the guy. Like, it's my guy. So anyway, that happened. So guy quits. I think he's supposed to attend tomorrow.
Excellent.
Dun, dun, dun! Because the opening band is the Baron Von Groove.
Yeah. I don't know anything about him.
He's cool. He came and jammed with us a couple of times. Okay. He's an older gentleman. Looks of the hippiest persuasion, like hair and beard and stuff.
He's probably not quite so hippie, though. You wouldn't talk to him.
Great guitar player. I do fucking... I mean, I probably hate his politics if we discussed it. I do hate hippies.
Could be a thing.
But then, I don't know. All right, actually, there's an addendum to that.
Okay, I like addendums.
If you're the hippie from 1967 and 68 and 69, and then it's like 40, 50 years later and you're still a hippie, I respect that. I don't like you or your ideas per se, but you're not a sellout. My wrinkle...
At least you held on to it.
No. My wrinkle is the baby boomers were like, end the war in Vietnam. Let's get Nixon out of office. And then as soon as they had a mortgage... And the economy tanked because they all voted in Carter, who's passing away. Oh, Carter. I like Carter. You know what I'm talking about?
I do. You want my quick thoughts on Jimmy Carter?
Yeah, let's do that.
Always struck me as a decent human being.
Yeah.
Not a good president.
Well, duh. That's like the most basic sentence ever. It's totally true.
That's what I'm going with.
Yeah, man. Not a good president. Great guy. Like, he was still building houses for the homeless.
Yeah, he was doing Habitat for Humanity, like, a year ago.
No, like 6 months ago.
And dude's in his 90s. And then he got whacked in the head while he was doing it.
And kept working.
And was like, got like 15 stitches in his forehead. And was like, I'll be back tomorrow.
I'm going to see if I'm doing my job here.
Yeah.
Like, tell me Clinton would do that. Clinton's out fucking 15-year-old chicks right now.
Oh, I guarantee it, dude. Definitely. Slinging dick.
He looks like a ghost. Have you seen him?
Yeah. There's probably some crazy fucking bitch who was into dead kids sucked the soul out of him.
He had a quadruple bypass or something.
He's also been married to Hillary for quite some time. That'll probably drain you.
Does that count? I don't think they're married. I feel like they don't, like, all right, I dated a girl.
All right, so what's the advantage of being not married?
What do you mean?
Well, you said they're not married.
All right, you have a wife.
I do.
You love your wife.
I do.
I've had a few wives. I love some of them.
A solid 33%.
Nah, I might give you 50. Anyway.
Cut one in half?
I would have if it was legal. Break it down the fucking middle. I'd go long because then she's definitely dead.
Well, if you whack her in half, then you can keep the vagina without any of the mouth.
Before we get to the Hillary Clinton part. And I didn't finish the hippie part either. I'm gonna finish the hippie part.
Okay, start there.
So the fact that the baby boomers then voted in Reagan for two terms while doing cocaine and then had a mortgage and became the fucking yuppies of the stock market,
they're
cunts. Like, if you're gonna be a dirty hippie, be a dirty hippie. And if you're not a dirty hippie, don't be a dirty hippie. But don't switch mid fucking team.
Yeah.
And then they voted in Trump. Now, I don't have an opinion on Trump. I'm not a political person, but he got in because the boomers voted him in. And they were the motherfuckers who were like, burn it down. down, bitches. That's number one. Number two, we were in a different state, me and some friends in a car, and a female in the car was like, oh, there's an ambulance. Do you say a prayer for someone inside that ambulance? And I'm like, yeah.
No.
I wish that my ex-wife who lives around here was in that ambulance. And they were like, oh, like it sucked the air out of the car. But that's what I was thinking.
Like talk about dead children on stage?
Yeah, except I would never do that on stage, let me tell you.
Just in a car.
I know, what was the last wrinkle that we just lost? What was the most?
I have no idea.
We were doing pretty well there. I was revisiting. Hillary Clinton! Hillary Clinton! One second. Okay. They're not married because you sleep in a bed with your wife.
Yes.
I've slept in beds with all my wives. I met a girl last summer who was like, if we ever become a thing, I would like to have separate bedrooms. And I was like, no. Because of no. But Hillary Clinton and her and him haven't had the same bedroom in 35, 40 years at this point.
But there are other people that have regular marriages that just don't sleep in the same room.
I wouldn't do it. I think there's a closeness to sleeping together. She has to tolerate me. I have to tolerate her. If she snores, like I'm seeing someone currently who snores, it's kind of cute, actually. It's not a bad snore. So I'm like, oh, that's adorable. You know what I mean? But if it was like, I'd be like, well, I can't be with that person. Yeah. Like that would be a thing. I don't know. I don't like it. I want a closeness to it.
I don't find it to be all that important.
You're married a lot longer than me.
I am. And also, in my years of life, I have tended to work a lot of jobs on off shifts.
Of course. Why is that? Why is that your thing?
I don't know.
Do you like it?
I do.
That's it. So you've
found it. Except I haven't really been. It hasn't been by my request that I take on these things. In a manufacturing facility, like several that I've worked in, what tends to happen is that within the confines of the business, of the building, there is an actual production and manufacturing area, and then there is an office area.
Yes.
Where the office people work during the day. It is my belief that most people would prefer to hide me from the office people.
What the fuck?
I'm terrifying to them. They're scared of me.
Why?
Look at me.
Do you think you look scary?
I think I look scary. I think I say things that really upset their status quo most of the time.
I don't think of you that way at all.
You don't, but you don't work in an office.
I did for a long time.
Yeah, I upset those people.
They loved me. You know how much sex I had in the office life? Oh, my
probably
God.
Probably a lot. It's probably not good, though.
They're tramps.
You're not supposed to shit where you eat.
I didn't eat there. Notice I didn't say I didn't shit there. Now I'm with you. I always thought like an office job was a temp thing anyway. And then I got promoted. I became like the boss. So I had to stop fucking the chicks. That was a thing.
And that job didn't last any longer.
I got in a fight with them, actually. There was a whole dissertation about that on a different podcast.
We'll start that some other time.
That's a pretty good one.
So what did you want to talk about on this podcast?
You're 45 minutes in before you've asked. You know that, right?
I don't give a fuck.
It's 45 minutes.
Is it really been 45
minutes? It's 45, 56 right now.
Oh, my God.
Right now.
We literally talked about
it. So now it's been 46 minutes. It's the Seinfeld of podcasting.
It truly is.
All right. Before we go down that rabbit hole, the gentleman whose podcast I appeared on are making all these clips, like the Joe Rogan trick. I say fuck way too much.
I feel like I'm not helping that cause either.
Like, and I don't think of myself, I think I'm well read. I think of myself as quite sharp. And I'm like, this fucking thing, you know, and I just gotta stop. I gotta stop with the fuck.
There's a lot of factors to that, though.
Which are?
For starters, I have read several studies that say, like, highly intelligent people tend to use profanity more often.
I read that.
That's the thing. Which, if that's the case, we're the two smartest motherfuckers in the world. So hooray for that.
Hooray.
Also, you have to factor in other things. Your chosen profession.
Yeah, being in the trades, we swear a lot.
All the time.
Man, I had fire pants and son working
with me. Not only do I swear a lot normally, you get three drinks in me and I use fuck like a comma.
Fire pants and son came to work with us. Tough kid, hard worker, good guy. 10 minutes, I called him a faggot. I was like, what are you, a faggot? Now, I got beeped.
I got beeped.
On the other podcast.
Not
saying,
even a little bit.
Like I said fag.
Like a lot.
Like I say that word. It's my thing that I do. I mean, be offended. Be offended. I'm not going to fight you. You're offended. I respect that. Be offended. I have a lot of clients that are homosexual people who are awesome. I have friends who are homosexual people that are awesome. I don't mean it to degrade homosexuality in any capacity. I'm taking it back. There you go. I'm thinking about
I don't have a response.
Yeah, don't. I mean, don't comment.
If that's what you want to do, cool for you.
And I'm trying to change when I say retarded to ridiculous or Down syndrome. What do you have, Down syndrome? Because that's a thing, and it's not a bad word yet, because it's an act. But here's the thing. To be mentally retarded is an actual term. It's a term. Like, it isn't like profanity with the N-word. That's a bad word.
Now, just to clarify, because I get exposed to a lot of this, there are some people in my life who have close ties to that world.
I have affinity for that world, by the way.
So, saying mentally retarded is, at one point, yes, it was the correct and proper term. It is no longer the preferred nomenclature. It is now intellectually disabled. That has been replaced.
It is a medical term, though.
It was.
No, it still is. If I bring out the medical dictionary, which my mother owned, it's in there.
They would prefer that you not use that term.
I feel like they don't have many opinions in reference to that.
No, probably not. They probably don't care.
So, all right, we're going to get on a weird slippery slope.
All right,
you can disavow.
We got 12 minutes. Let's fucking do it. I'll hammer down. I'm in.
You can disavow.
I won't. I'll jump in.
There is a gentleman.
There is a guy.
A white guy who put on a sombrero and a big, crazy fucking... Right? I'm going to tell my story. On the mustache and the poncho. And he goes to white people. White people. And he's like, is this offensive? And they're like, you know what? It is. This is cultural appropriation.
Now, hold on. It's not just white people.
Can I tell my story?
Yeah, but tell them what white people they are.
No, you tell them.
The majority of these videos, he is on like a college campus where I would assume that the populace is of the ilk, leaning towards very, very liberal. And there is a much better chance that they are going to be offended on someone else's behalf.
And that's what my wrinkle is. So then the same gentleman wears the same outfit and he hangs out with Mexicans. And he's like, they're like, this looks awesome. This is cool. You look great. High fucking five, bro. Yeah, it represent. So the people who are actually being culturally appropriated are totally...
Don't give a shit.
Like, no, like it. They're like, this is fucking cool. Thank you for rocking our shit.
Yeah.
And white people not involved in the conversation are telling me that it's offensive to Mexican people and Mexicans and Americans. So when you tell me that if I use the medical term of mentally retarded, which is a medical terminology, that it offends the person who suffers from that, I don't fucking believe you. Now, you can say, my child is this way, and it's offensive to me, and I respect that sentence. I do.
Yes, I agree wholeheartedly. Ricky Gervais talks about this. There's an interview with him.
Does he? Tell me.
Not this specific topic, but people being offended. And he said he is just sick and tired of people criticizing him and saying that his jokes are offensive. He's like, don't say that my jokes are offensive.
Okay.
Say that you are offended by my joke.
Okay.
At least yourself own it.
Yeah.
Say that it is you. You are the one that can't see themselves clear of realizing this is a joke. You are the one that feels a certain way about it. Not everyone. My joke is not inherently offensive to everyone. It's offensive to you and your sensibilities.
And that's kind of where I stand.
And that's wholeheartedly where I'm at. Like, again, like I said, not those particular people. People who work with the mentally handicapped, the term that they prefer to use nowadays is intellectually disabled.
As somebody really close to me took their own life. So technically, if one makes a joke about suicide, I should be offended. I'm not. My mother happened to die of cancer-related complications. So when someone makes fun of some lady having cancer, which does happen in jokes, I should be flipping out, but I don't, because it's a fucking joke. And even if it wasn't a joke, here's what I love about living in America, and this is important. People aren't taking this in consideration. If there is something on the radio that you don't like, you can turn it off. If there's something on the television that offends you that you don't like, you can turn it off.
Keep scrolling, motherfuckers.
There's so much content. And there's
if you're offended by pretty much anything, don't watch this podcast.
Yeah, and that's the thing. We're not even that bad.
I don't think we are.
But
I think we touched on some things, but I don't think we're really like gung-ho. Like, we're not too bad.
Innately, I don't think either one of us are like really racist people.
I would say probably
not. You're definitely not. I would say innately we're not sexist people. I
voted for a woman for president.
And I literally support the idea of feminism in every capacity. I got, oh, fuck this. I'm hijacking. Here we go, motherfucker. Let me tell you some shit. I dated a girl last summer. Gorgeous. You met her. And you were like, that woman's fucking insane. Do you remember that conversation?
I do.
You do, right?
Was I right?
Obviously. Yeah. And you looked me dead in the eyes, and we weren't friends yet. We knew each other, yeah, but not like now. Like, and you're like, out. Vex?
She's fucking crazy. So, dude, I can smell it on her. Holy shit.
Now,
yeah.
She has a master's degree, right? A master's degree. I don't have a master's degree. Now, she lived in $1.5 million house with her parents, which is pretty spectacular. I saw the house. But it was her parents' house. And she was like my age, right? Maybe a little younger. I think 45. So I'm talking to her. And she's like, oh, well, my father had a stroke. And I moved back home to take care of him. And I was like, well, that's noble, right? She wasn't taking care of a motherfucker, by the way, when I met her. When she didn't live there, she lived in her parents' Florida house. Not her house, bro. Yeah. But that's fine. So now we start dating. And I'm like, this is my house. You know, if we work out. Because she was really nice to me and everything was good and she was very pretty and the sex was nice.
I'll give you that. She was a looker.
And I was like, well, listen, if this works out, you know, maybe eventually we would move in together and we could like split the mortgage or a couple of bills or something. Because that's kind of how my life is. And she stopped and she's like, no, I don't do that. And I just let it go because I just met her, right? And then we broke up over nothing. Awesome. We get back together over nothing. Awesome. And then we're like, now we're in, right? Like we had our first little fight thing and we're working it out. This is my entire last summer was this bitch, by the way. The whole fucking summer. Can't call them bitches. Whatever. So we get through the summer. Now we're down in Atlantic City. We're walking on the beach. We're holding hands. It's a great fucking day. Now, I got stuck paying for a $250 meal for two people because she's uppity as fuck in Atlantic City and the food wasn't even that fucking good and the portions were small. That was weird to me, but that's fine. So now we're on the beach before we spend my money because that's what we do. And I'm talking to her and I'm like, all right, this is getting pretty serious. You know, and we like each other there. You're spending more time. I'm like, if you move in, we got to kind of figure out how we're going to split the bills. And she's like, I don't do that. And I was like, I thought you were kidding when you said that 3 months ago, you know? And she's like, no, I'm serious. And I was like, what do you mean? She's like, I lived with a man for 10 years. He paid for everything and gave me a BMW. And I was like, just so we're clear, I don't care how rich I get. I am never buying you a BMW, ever. And she's like, I understand that. And I was like, okay. I was like, you have a master's degree. Yes. You live in your parents' fucking house. Right now, it's a nice house.
Does she have a job with this master's degree?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
And she had money. Okay. She had money. So I was like,
shit, she was living in somebody else's house.
So I was like, if we live together, you gotta pull your weight, right? And then she was just like, well, I don't feel comfortable in that. I'm like, well, and hold up. We are wasting our time. At our age, we are dating with purpose. I like you. I have fun with you. You're cool. But if you don't see long-term how this can survive, maybe you should rethink this. And we're on the beach. Now, she could have done it right there. I'd have driven her home and never talked to her again, right? But she's like, oh, can I think about it? And I was like, not much to think about, honey.
Is that who I was going to say?
But I was like, no problem. So then we proceed to spend my money on this dinner. $250, bro. I didn't want dessert. I'm just looking at the prices and I'm like, and all right, I have it.
We go back to the hotel and order pizza. This fucking sucks.
It's not that I don't have the money. I want to stress that, but I'm not going to waste it on nothing.
Right.
And then we go in and they all had these stupid fucking uniforms on. And I looked around and it was dated. It wasn't modern and clean. I was like, fuck this place. She's like, this is the grass food ever. My family brings me here. And I was like, because you don't pay the bill. Yeah, of course. So we have the meal. It was a good meal. I wasn't filled up. I'll fucking tell you that. So we get in the car. We drive home. We have motherfucker sex together. Like, great sex. She spends the night. Everything's awesome. She gets up the next day. I'm like, well, I'm going to go to the gym. She's like, okay, I'm going to go home. I'll text you later today. I'm like, cool. And she's like, all right, good night, whatever. The next day, I get up, and she just sends me a motherfucker Dear John text. As to this isn't going to work out. I hope you understand. I hope we can remain friends. And I'm like, all right, all right. I clicked on her Instagram 1 second after finishing the text, and she blocked me. Not, like, not unfollowed, blocked. You don't want to be my friend.
Yeah, no.
Not at all. You're a liar. And I wasn't going to pay for you. And then I started listing all of her physical flaws in my head. I'm like, if I'm going to pay for a woman's life, shouldn't she be fucking flawless?
No.
I'm just saying. If that's
what just flawless to you. It,
but that's the thing. If her whole existence on this planet, dude, and she did things that I was impressed by physically that I wouldn't have done for her. You know what I mean? Like things. And I was like, well, that's pretty. She's a team player, but she's not a team player. In her mind, she's just there for those things.
It was a means to an end.
And you pay for her. Not worth it. Not worth it. Just not worth it. Not my thing.
I called that one.
You called it 100%.
I knew.
And you were inebriated when you told me. You weren't sober.
I wasn't sober, but inebriated is not the word I would use.
Okay, feeling good?
Yeah. I have had like 3 Jack and Ginger Ales with Dan Daly.
Dan's a motherfucker. And then you sat there and we talked to her all night. We hung out and you look at me and you're like, she's fucking insane.
I'll be nice to her because she was with you. That's fine. But dude, like I said, I could smell it on her. I was like, I know what crazy smells like. And there it is.
It was a good summer, but it was interesting. I don't know, man.
Like, you know when summer first rolls around, like springtime?
Yeah.
And the first time you walk out of your house and like you smell somebody grilling.
Yes.
And you're like, fuck yes. I know that. I know exactly what that is. That's what happened.
In reference to crazy.
I smelled it and I was like, I know what that is. It's unmistakable.
Out of her mind.
Oh, yeah. I have 0 fucking doubts.
Ladies and gentlemen, this has been episode number 173 of the Vex on Vex podcast. Morning radio number 8. Thank you for your time, Dave.
Always a pleasure, sir.
The Vex on Vex podcast is available on the Podbean application on your phone under the Loud and Loaded Network. This is VexX and Dave telling you to stay frosty. Any closing words, sir?
Come to Dobbs on South tomorrow night and hang out with us. Remember, kids, normal's boring.
Stay frosty.